Welcome to our service tonight in Toronto, Canada. We're sorry for the slight delay, but we're happy that you've been able to connect with us on sermon audio. And our prayer is always that the Lord will meet with us. We will be encouraged, and I think you'll be blessed by the testimonies and the greetings that are being brought tonight to you, and from, of course, the word of the Lord. As you know, this is our final Lord's Day service of 2020. We had a prayer time this afternoon with our session and board and also with our congregation. And, you know, it's always an important thing, a blessed thing, a time of thanksgiving when you draw near to the final days and hours of a year. A lot of reflection, a lot of last things. And, you know, it brings up into the mind of the believer a spirit of thanksgiving, of reflection on the Lord's goodness, His mercy, His kindness, His grace. And all of these things are true. And so, join with us tonight as we lift our voices, our hearts in praise to the Lord, in song, in reading of the Scripture, and in giving thanksgiving to Him. Number two in our hymnal, "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven." Let's rejoice and worship Him. Whenever I sing that hymn, I'm always touched by the words, "Father, like He tends and spares us." And when you think about the love of the Lord to us, a father's love to his children, many times as children, we would stumble and fall. We would perhaps make a mess at the dinner table, as young children are prone to do. And what does a loving mother, loving father do? But they get out the cloth and they would clean off the face, they would wipe off the dirty hands, and they would make us better again. Our Heavenly Father, you know, He comes to us with all His tenderness, all His loving kindness, all His gentleness, and He cleans us up and puts us back on the way again. And believer, tonight, have you something to thank God for? Have you something to repent of? Well, we're all in the same boat in that regard, and we're able to come and acknowledge His loving kindness and mercy tonight. Would you please remember a couple of things in prayer? We mentioned this morning our brother Luis Fernandez. Our brother is in ICU at this time, and he is not well, and would appreciate very much your prayers for him and also for his two daughters, Karen and Suzanne. I would ask you also to remember the funeral tomorrow that I have to take for our brother Lou Johnson, remembering the entire family, Adrian, Tracy, Denise, Nancy, that the Lord would comfort their hearts, and all the other family members who will be there at this particular time. Let's seek the Lord now tonight, come before Him. Father, as we have, by grace and by great strength, loving kindness, been brought to see another Lord's Day, and this one significant as it is the final one of the year, Lord, we lift our thanksgiving. We lift our hearts' praise. We come, Lord, to praise with our soul the God of heaven. And we'll say, as David did in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be cast into the midst of the sea. Lord, we are trusting and resting tonight. And we acknowledge, Lord, our great debt. We would come to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We ask, Lord, to make use of us in whatever way You please. For at the end of our days, at the end of our time, Lord, when we are brought into the throne room of heaven, it will be enough, Father, if we are welcomed with the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Lord, do not let us wander. Do not let us go astray. We are prone to wander. Lord, keep us in the center of Your blessed and holy will. Keep us walking fervently in the line, in the path, in the way of fellowship and communion with our Savior. Dear Lord, keep us close by Your side. We pray tonight that You would be very near our brother Lewis in hospital. Lord, touch him. Be near to him. Raise him again to health and strength. We're thankful, Lord, for answers to prayer, for Your hand upon our brother Sam McAnally, for bringing him safely home. We think of our sister Ruth tonight. Comfort her and bless her. Be with others who need a touch physically upon them. Remember grieving families tonight. And we pray for the Johnsons, that You would strengthen and be with them. Give help, Lord, I pray, in the service tomorrow. May the family know very much the Savior standing by their side, the Holy Spirit to give comfort and strength and support at this time. Lord, we look back over a tumultuous year, a year that started off with blessing, with hope, with anticipation. And Lord, we've come to the end and say, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Lord, through thick and thin, through all the changes that we have faced, through all the things that have affected this world, we know, Lord, that Your watch care and Your hand upon Your people, upon the church, upon the body of Christ has never changed. It's always been the same, Lord. And we're thankful that no event in this world, nothing that is yet to come, can take us out of our Father's loving and all-powerful hand. We are thankful, Lord, tonight, that we are redeemed, we are saved, and will never, ever be lost. So hear our prayers this night. We lift our hearts in praise. We acknowledge, Lord, times and blessings, thanksgiving. Let that never be far from us. And we think with anticipation for what the next year holds for all of us. And we don't know the pathway forward. I mean, we don't know exactly, Lord, what will be. We're resting in our sovereign, sovereign loving God. Bless us now as we continue to wait before Thee. In Jesus' precious name, amen. There's a little chorus, give thanks with a grateful heart. Sing along from your place, your home, and let us tonight from our hearts not only bless and praise God as we've done with the first hymn, but also with this chorus as well. As most of you will know, Reverend Ian Gallagher, the minister of our Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church in British Columbia, he has been our moderator. Well, it was supposed to be for 2 years, but because we were hit this year with the lockdown and the pandemic, well, he has continued on for another year. And it's given an opportunity for our brother and to be able to rejoice in the leadership that he has given to our denomination in North America. And so we acknowledge to the Lord thanksgiving for our brother, and we pray that God will continue to watch over him and to bless him. I'm sure he comes to the year 2021 with mixed feelings. Our brother is planning on retiring. His final Lord's Day in Cloverdale will be March 14th. And so I would ask you to remember him, his dear wife Beulah, as they finalize things in Cloverdale. And I would ask you as a people, our own congregation, and those of you who are watching online, that God would give direction for the church in Cloverdale. He would help. He would show very clearly the man who would be the replacement for our brother Gallagher. And that even now, unknown to us, maybe even unknown to the man that God has chosen who will raise up, but the Lord would be moving in the hearts. He would bless the congregation, help the two elders there who are with the responsibility now, and also that the Lord would give help to me. The presbytery has placed me as the interim moderator for that church when our brother Gallagher comes to that time of his retirement. But in the meantime, and we don't want to rush Ian along, we hope that he enjoys the final Lord's days that he has there for the next couple of months. But he sent out a greeting to all of our ministers, and I want just to read you a couple of paragraphs from that, as I believe it will be encouraging for you tonight. We have learned, he writes, in 2020, the soundness of James' advice not to boast of tomorrow. We go forward prayerfully, therefore depending on the Lord to go before us, to grant His protection and grace as we seek to serve Him during this critical time in the midst of this pandemic. May the Lord be pleased to soon bring it to an end and use it to revive His church in the new year. He writes, "We are mindful to pray for Mrs. Cairns as she faces the future without her husband. His passing is a reality check for all of us. We praise God for the truth of his last text, that is Dr. Cairns. He wrote, 'For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain.' It is blessed to know that our citizenship is in heaven, and that if each of us shall one day behold the Lord's face and be fashioned into his glorious likeness. To know that Mr. Cairns is enjoying such blessedness right now is a present consolation to our hearts." Ian writes, "Life is short, and truly only what's done for the Lord Jesus will last. Let us make each day count as we press on in His service in 2021. Thank you for all that you do." He's speaking to the ministers in the preaching of the gospel and the care for God's people in this very needy world. Those are encouraging words from our brother Gallagher, and we pray that we will know that blessing, that reviving he was talking about for 2021, for we have been praying much about it in our own congregation here, and I know that every free church is praying the same thing. But believer, let us also be remembering every faithful tongue, every faithful minister, whether it be of our denomination or outside, and we know there are many others who are calling on the God of heaven, who are praying for a mighty moving of the Spirit of God. Let us unite in prayer, seek God for wisdom for our leaders, that He will rebuke them from the evil plans that they may have. He will stop them from going down foolish pathways, and He will bless them in order that the church of Christ might be encouraged and blessed and able to continue in the pathway that God has called us to labor in this very day. I thought it would be fitting for us to play at this time a recording that I found of one of our weeks of prayer, where our ministers, as we would gather to pray, well, oftentimes we would sing. And this one, "Complete in Thee," was sung several years ago by our ministers, and I hope it will be an encouragement and a blessing to you as you listen. Well, I hope that was a blessing to your heart as you heard those words. And I can assure you that as our brethren were singing to the Lord's praise with all their hearts and rejoicing in the great truth being sung, that we are found finished, complete in our Lord and in our Savior. What great rejoicing we have in Him. Let me welcome you tonight to our evening service of testimony and praise, thanksgiving unto the Lord. We're happy that you've been able to connect on tonight, whether you're here locally in Toronto or Canada, or maybe a little farther away. Nonetheless, you are very, very welcome, and we're happy that you've been able to join with us tonight. I've already mentioned in prayer our brother Luis Fernandez, and also asking for your prayer for the funeral service tomorrow for Brother Lou Johnson. Do you remember the Johnson family tonight? The service will be at Ajax Baptist Church, and we're asking you to tune in via live stream, and if you're getting our emails or on our website, you will find that link information. The funeral will be tomorrow at 11:30 a.m., and so please, I know the family would very much appreciate your prayerful support for tomorrow. Could I ask you to remember our Whitfield Christian School? Well, as all the staff members are taking a break over the Christmas time, and we know that everything is upside down for families and get-togethers and all of these things, but I would ask you to remember our staff as they have served through the first term of school under all the difficult circumstances, yet the Lord has helped them, give them grace, and for also the staff members, the parents, the students, everyone. And we've learned that we'll not be able to go back to school right away because of the lockdown here in Ontario. And so wisdom, understanding, and help will be needed for all teaching staff, and I know they'll much appreciate it. This afternoon at 4:50, we met for our session and board final prayer meeting of the year. We started a monthly prayer time earlier in 2020, and each time we get together, well, we run out of time. The hour is too short for all the men to pray, and it's a time of, well, getting alone with God, seeking the Lord for the needs we have for our own fellowship here, praying earnestly for very specific direction from God, and to acknowledge, as I do now, thanks to God for the brethren, for the men God has raised up here in our fellowship, our deacons, our elders, and I want to ask the congregation here to continue to hold them up before God as they are praying for you, praying for your families. And I know that because I hear that in our prayer times, and the Lord would continue to give wisdom and guidance and understanding in all the situations that we have at this time. A little while ago, I brought you greetings from Joe and Trudy White. Joe and Trudy, members of our Barrie congregation for many, many years, until the Lord redirected their pathway and they moved down to Prince Edward Island. Well, I heard from Joe and Trudy recently, and they have now settled in to their new home, and they found a good, faithful church to attend there, and so we're thankful for that. And Joe and Trudy wanted to be remembered with thanksgiving to the church here in Toronto, and so we ask you to remember them continually in your prayers as well. As far as the announcements go this week, they are very straightforward. We have no meetings going on this week. There'll be no prayer meeting Wednesday night, as we usually do not have one between Christmas and New Year's, and we'll be resuming our services next Lord's Day, and that will be in the morning here at 11 a.m., where I hope to bring a challenge for our motto text for the next year. Ask for your prayers that the Lord will bless and help in the preparation of that word, and it will be an encouragement to you. And while we're thinking about the word of the Lord and how important it is, we have a new daily reading calendar for you for 2021. If you follow this particular calendar, you will read through the entire Bible once, the Old and New Testament. You will read through the book of Psalms twice, and you'll read through the book of Proverbs four times. Last year we were setting up the schedule where Proverbs was every month, and I think it became a little bit hard for some folks, so we decided to cut it down a little bit. So some months or some days, rather, you only have three chapters to read through, and others maybe four. But nonetheless, my heart and my desire is that you will receive much blessing from the consistent daily reading of the Word of God to feed your soul spiritually. Because there is so much to discourage us, it's so vital that we are built up in our most holy faith. And if you're not following this particular schedule, well, you follow according to the one you feel most comfortable with. But nonetheless, friends, read. And don't forget, as we reminded you and even read this morning from Proverbs chapter 1, highlight verse 23. And if I challenge you of one thing, it would be to pray over that verse every time before you read the scripture. Because the Lord promises, I will make my words known unto you. And that's a great promise. And so don't forget that one. It will be an encouragement to you, I am sure. You know, we usually had, on the last Lord's Day, an international dinner. And we have not been able to have one of those since March, as we're all under the same circumstances. But I'm looking forward to the time when we again will be able to unite as a fellowship in the congregation. And we'll be able to enjoy another time of international lunch together. It will be a blessing. Well, not just for the food, but the main part will be getting back with fellowship of God's people one more time again. So in our service now tonight, we want to come to a testimony. And I've asked our sister, Tolu Kadri, if she would share with us a word of testimony. And I've asked her to do it by a video. And I was thinking she was going to, well, be sitting in front of her camera and do it that way. But she's prepared a very nice, just about a 10-minute video of telling her story with some good photographs. So I want you to listen, and I trust it will be an encouragement to you at this time.
My testimony. I was asked to share my testimony about how I came to place my faith in Jesus. People from all walks of life can have riveting accounts of how God found them. My testimony begins when I was really young, and I would often wonder about God. What does God look like? What does God sound like? And what did God do all day? My earliest memory of God was probably around the age of 5 or 6, and I understood that God was the creator of the world and that God lived in a place called heaven, and people went to heaven when they died. I attended a Catholic school, and at the Catholic school, I would often participate in Mass as well as something called confessions. And before I would meet with the priest to confess my sins, I remember I had to say something before I met the priest and before I presented myself to the priest. At 6 or 7 years old, I remember thinking that, wow, the priest has authority to forgive sins. Go and sin no more. I believe I recall the priest saying after each confession. Practicing the Catholic faith as a child, I believe that God was far away, but that I could connect to God through a mediator, like a priest or someone closer to God. I also believe that good people went to heaven. At first, I believed all people went to heaven. A little bit later, I realized, hey, maybe it's just good people that go to heaven. And I also believe that Jesus was the son of Mary and Joseph, and he died on the cross, although I didn't fully understand the reason behind why Jesus had to die. At home, I knew about some of the Ten Commandments, the Golden Rules. We also had a famous poem called Footprints that was on our wall. And reading that poem reminded me that God was always nearby. Even if I couldn't see him, there'd be another set of footprints right beside me. My mother started to go to church again in the early 90s, and she had gone to church when she was younger. She grew up in a Christian household, and her grandmother would take her to church. And when she started going to church, she would take my siblings and I with her. And my father went to a service and got saved. And from that point on, our family started to attend church regularly. I was learning more about the gospel, more about God, that we were all sinners, no one was perfect, and there was a God that loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for our sins. And if we believed in our heart and confessed with our mouth that we could gain eternal life. It was during around that period of time where I trusted Jesus as a child. But looking back, I see that as a child, I often looked at God through a lens of that he was an authoritative figure who would often pass down judgment. I understood God loved me and that he sent his son Jesus to die for me. I also understood that if I asked him to come into my heart, I would be saved, and I got baptized. I also remember in one of the classes I attended, there was an image of a broken bridge, a man on one side and God on the other. And the man, the sinner, just stands on one side of the bridge with a look of desperation on his face because of the gap in the middle that keeps the man separated from God. And throughout the years, I found that my moments of walking with God, it was me still trying to hold on to part of the works based system, trying to appease God and trying to appease and work harder to make God happy whenever I felt short. But as long as I made works a priority, I would fall short every time. In my early 20s, I went to a conference, and at that conference, I heard a message of Lazarus the beggar. And again, those dusty lens of me viewing God as solely just judge and not really conceiving him as a loving, eternal father. That was brought to the forefront of my life again. But I knew that God knew in my heart I wanted to really embrace him as an eternal, loving father. And my mind could conceive it theoretically, but spiritually, I believe now that I was just trying to serve God out of fear and compensate with works. Then I traveled to South Korea, and God's ways are not our own. For years, I lived in North America, attended big churches. And now, halfway across the world, it all makes sense when I sat in a pew listening to a pastor preach the gospel on the holiness of God. And the pastor gave a beautiful analogy of a stairwell to heaven. And even if I lived every day of my life perfect, the moment that I messed up, even if it's a small hiccup, we are all guilty before God. So no amount of works could remove the stain of sin. A holy God can't be in the presence of sin. I understood that I needed redemption, which came through Jesus. Guilty, yes, but God looks at our faith in Jesus and says we're forgiven. When I returned home that night, I experienced a conviction so deep. I understood God not just as one that eventually, yes, will pass judgment, but as holy in nature. The reason behind the gospel had new meaning. Up until then, I was still holding on to the works based. I didn't murder anyone. I volunteered. I gave to the homeless. But that was a problem because I was blinded by self-righteousness and good works. And when you compare yourself to others by human standard, sure, you may look pretty good. You may even look perfect. But once we compare ourselves to a standard of holiness, we are guilty, each and every human being. I was selfish in thinking I could accept just God's gift of salvation and try to take that salvation just to escape eternal punishment without any strings attached, without the relationship aspect. Sure, I understood God loved me in the past, but I feel now that I bartered with salvation in my earlier years, trying to get the best deal to avoid the penalties of sin. I didn't really grasp the depth of his love or know him as a loving father. The works and faith system of trying to appease God and stay in his good graces was a sham, because in that moment I realized there was not enough good works I or anyone else could do to be right with God. And without his gift of faith to believe in Jesus, I would be eternally lost forever despite my good works. I understood that picture I had seen many years ago of that sinner on that bridge. I was a sinner. God was holy. Sin couldn't be reconciled with holiness unless there was a provision. And Jesus was that provision. I asked God to come into my life, and I finally understood God not as a judge ready to condemn or pinpoint every error that was erroneous thinking, or ready to condemn if we constantly didn't repent and tried in our own effort to live right. Rather, I knew God now as a loving father who delivered me from that self-righteous Pharisee attitude and works-based faith. No amount of good works could get me past the bridge, because the smallest gap was still a gap, but trusting in the work that Jesus did on the cross was the only thing that could make me right. Jesus was the only mediator. And during this part of my life, I remember God bringing the same scripture to me in different ways, turning on a radio and hearing the scripture, opening my daily scripture reading and reading that scripture, going to church and hearing the scripture again. And that scripture was John 21, 15 to 22, where Jesus asked Simon Peter if he loves him. Feed my lamb, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. I knew God was telling me there's work for you to do. I continue to see God's grace in my life in different ways. Although it's sometimes hard to swallow shortcomings and trials, I'm reminded in different situations that the greatest injustice is for the unrepentant sinner to be lost and eternally separated from God. I'm constantly being refined and challenged. I've had lessons that remind me that I cannot, or neither should I, try to do things in my own strength, but just need to trust God and go in the grace God bestows each day. TFBC was one of the many churches I visited as a kid with my family when we were looking for a home church. So it's amazing how God has reordered my steps back here. People need to know that there's a God who loves them and wants to have a relationship with them. God doesn't seek to lay those unfathomable burdens or expect people to work for their salvation. As Redeemer, God understands and understood our frame and inability to reconcile the fellowship that was broken. We can't reconcile that with good works. For the Bible says our good works are as filthy rags. The enemy would love to condemn people and point out every fault as a reason why we could never be reconciled with a holy God, but God tells us otherwise. The gospel is not one of selfishness or every man for themselves with the amount of good works one can store up. Neither is it a gospel that professes you do half and God does the rest. Rather, it's one of selflessness. Christ did it all when he died on the cross for our sins. The gospel, it's so simple yet profound. God's grace and the gift of faith extends to the homeless, beggar, the convicted criminal, the addict, the millionaire, the leaders of nations. Our advocate is Jesus. So when God looks at us and the faith we put in Jesus, he sees the saving work that Jesus did on the cross and rules us not guilty, but rather forgiven. And I'm uncertain about the path that God has laid out or will lay out for me, but God continues to show me that it's not in my own strength that I must live, but in His through the Holy Spirit, walk by faith and not by sight, and continue in the grace that God gives because His grace is sufficient. Amen.
Well, it was good to hear our sister Talu's testimony. And you know how the Lord leads people many different pathways. And as she said many years ago, she came to the church when she was very younger here, and God took her by a very different path, brought up in a Catholic school, taught the things that had to do with the Church of Rome, many erroneous things about salvation and faith and what it was to be forgiven. And so the journey that God led Talu on was one to come to see this, that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to God's mercy and His love. And when a person comes face to face with their own nothingness and that we can contribute nothing to our salvation, it's at that point where we come to rest by faith completely upon what our Savior has done. And isn't it true that when all of us come to trust the Lord in our simple way, we're at the very starting gate, at the very beginning, and we have so much to learn and so much to grow in. And so I want to say a word of thanks to Talu and ask you all to remember her, please, in prayer as well, and that it would be a blessing to you. Let's sing a hymn together, number 5. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices. Those in our congregation know well Reverend Milos Scholtz from the Czech Republic, and this year our Christmas card appeal, which I did not mention earlier, but I'll mention it now. Our Christmas card appeal, we raise funds every year for a missionary cause, and this year our session and board decided to direct it toward the Czech Republic Building Fund, and so that's the direction already. We've raised $5,000 from your contributions here in our congregation. And if anyone listening online tonight, if you would like to add to that, well, we invite you to do so. And you could send that offering through to our church, marking it Mission or the Christmas card fund or the Czech Republic building fund. We'll make sure it gets to that particular cause. So I've asked Brother Milosz if he would send a greeting to the congregation here, of course, in the Czech Republic where he is now, and want to listen to that greeting at this time.
It is my joy and privilege to record these few words to our dear beloved brethren in the Toronto Free Presbyterian Church. Pastor Saunders asked me a couple of days ago if I'd be able to record a few words. So here I am in our family kitchen in the Czech Republic. We are about 1 hour northeast of Prague, as many of you know. And I'm standing in my home, in our home, to share these few words with you. As of today, we are back in the highest level of restrictions because of COVID. Yesterday, December the 24th, we had 14,000 new infections in our country, a country of 10 million people, so it is a very high number. And the country is now under the most severe lockdown. As of this coming Lord's Day, we will be back to online services only. And after 4 weeks, only four short weeks of public in-person services, we will be back to online services. We had 6 weeks of closure and online services from the mid of October to more or less the end of November, then 4 weeks of public services, in-person services, and now we are back to full closure. So these are the times we live in, these changing, unpredictable times. But we are very thankful that this past Lord's Day, we were able to hold our Christmas evangelistic service. And we had a number of visitors, several young people from our sons, Timothy and Caleb's high school, came and visited the church, attended the services, and heard the gospel. We are very thankful for that, for this opportunity. And I ask you to pray for these dear souls, that the Lord would speak to their hearts and save them. I had a good opportunity to speak with them, especially one young woman that came for the first time. And we pray for her, that the Lord would save her. She's from nearby, and we trust that the Lord will open the door even to that home. The Lord has marvelously sustained us during this COVID year. We are not taking that for granted. We are not taking anything for granted. It has been a difficult year, and yet the Lord has truly blessed us and looked after all of our needs. And unto him we give all the glory and praise and honor that is due unto his name. I would like to thank you all for your continued prayerful and practical support. It means a great deal to us. And especially at this time, for the Christmas card appeal, we thank the Lord for your generosity and for your heart for the Lord's work here in the Czech Republic, the mission in the Czech Republic. May the Lord himself richly repay you. And he will, he will. The Lord is no man's debtor. It is my lifelong experience, and I marvel at the Lord's provision and the Lord's blessing over all of these years, all of the years of my life, our life. And so we again thank the Lord and give him all the glory and praise. There's nothing like the Bank of Heaven, God's faithful servant C.T. Studd said, God's bank has 100% interest, and that is our experience. And it'll be your experience, and it is, I'm sure, your experience as you have given to the Lord over the years. The Lord is good, and he is good all the time. In closing, I would like to bring an encouragement from the Scripture. In a year of great change and uncertainty, of great unpredictability and trouble and fear, how reassuring it is and how comforting it is to know the Lord to have the Lord as our own, to have him as our friend, as our brother, as our Savior and Redeemer. Praise the Lord. The hymn writer Henry Light, in his very well-known hymn, Abide With Me, writes the famous words, words very special to me for many, many years, and they are very, very timely now. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. What words, what truth for the child of God. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. His promises, his word, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. His word, forever, settled in heaven. And heaven as we know it, and earth shall pass away, the heaven we see. But his word, as the Lord Jesus said, shall never pass away. What reassurance, what comfort for the child of God. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise his holy name. And so in these times of great change and uncertainty, I implore all of us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the things of God, the things of eternity, the things that do not change, that are the same, that are sure and certain. And all the other things shall be added unto us. May we all grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And oh, that we would know him and the power of his resurrection. This is our great desire, that we would know the Lord more and more. And in these times of great change, may we look to the one who doesn't change. And may we know his peace and his joy and his love in our heart and his great salvation. May the Lord bless these words to all of us. And may all the glory and honor be unto his great name. For Jesus' sake. Amen. I would now like to invite my family to sing one stanza of Joy to the World, to the encouragement of the Lord's people and to the glory of God.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.
The Lord bless you all and give you a blessed New Year. It is my joy and privilege to record these.
Well, I trust that those brief greetings and words of encouragement would be a blessing to your own heart. Do continue to remember our mission work in the Czech Republic. Remember the family. And certainly as they have requested prayer for their recent dinner, Christmas fellowship, where they had occasion to witness to some young people, and the others have heard the word over the years that God would bring in a great harvest. It's a time like this where we would review and think over some of the mercies and the blessings that God has given us. This morning I brought you a review of our motto text from this past year, from Micah 6, verse 8. What doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? We had our congregational week of prayer, the last full week of January, 27th to 31. And then I had the privilege of going down to Jamaica on a mission trip in the month of February. March the 1st saw the welcome into membership of Reverend Chris Kim and his dear wife Hannah. And then right after that is when the COVID lockdown occurred. It was mid-March. We were away from on the March break, and we had our, well, Lord's Day service on March the 22nd. And the closure occurred that day, and it right through until July the 26th, when we opened up for the morning service. Reverend Paul Backhurst made it into Calgary just before the lockdown occurred, really. And he had a service, I believe, in Calgary, and then he had to go online for quite some time. And that was a change, a big change for his entire family. I know Reverend Backhurst would greatly appreciate your prayers as they continue to serve the Lord there in Calgary. One of the blessings that came out of this pandemic was the initiation by Reverend Gallagher to start regional ministers and missionary prayer meetings. And so that did begin on March 31st. And we've continued on those virtually every week, taking a short break through the summertime and a little break now. But every Tuesday, we meet with the local ministers and two of our missionaries. Brother Schultz joins us, and also Richard Craig from Jamaica. And they have been tremendous encouragements, and we're going to keep on going with those by the will of God. We meet Tuesdays at 1 p.m. So I would ask you to remember and hold up all of our various ministries. This year has been a very difficult one for our congregation, families connected, because of the number of deaths that have occurred. The first one that really hit our congregation was to do with, well, Pamela. She was the mother of our sister Regini, our brother Donald Devaparan. And then we had the passing of Margaret Schenck, Mrs. Newell's mother, Elaine and Grace. And then also we had the passing of Francis Rodriguez, April the 27th, Reverend Wesley Graham on May the 19th, and Francesca Fernandez on May 21st. The shocking and tragic drowning of Mrs. Amy Frank, the wife of one of the elders in Alabama. Then, Brother Peter Slade, the brother of our sister Ruth, passed away on August the 13th. And then the very shocking death of Scott Sanderson, who was the grandson of Norma Wilson. He passed away on August the 29th. Maud Bennett's sister passed away also over in Northern Ireland in September. And then Joan McKercher's sister in October passed away overseas. Georgina Brown on October the 28th. And Dr. Alan Cairns on November the 5th. And then the final one that we have heard so far this year has been Lou Johnson, who passed away just a little time ago, December the 17th. Now, it's possible that I have missed someone out here, and please do forgive me if that's the case. It was not intentional. But when we think about these things, well, they're difficult for us to come through and for the families that have to bear under these circumstances. On April the 8th, we had our first Zoom prayer meeting, and we have continued on those from that time to this very day. They have been a tremendous blessing, and I want to encourage those in our congregation who are not yet part of our Zoom prayer meetings on Wednesday nights, 7:30, to make sure you take up that challenge. We welcome some new members at one of our Zoom prayer meetings, the Delina family and our sister Eunice Siu on April the 22nd. We had our TFPC congregational prayer time, the first one we have done on June the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And at that time, we welcomed in our brother Daniel and Rebecca Simon into membership. Brian Lembega also was brought into membership online on July the 8th. We had a tremendous blessing in the summertime. One of our families connected with our school gave us a donation of $100,000 toward our school ministry. And that was a tremendous blessing. And that was on top of another gift that was brought in a few weeks before that of $30,000. And these were tremendous encouragements and much needed for our school ministry. We reopened, as I mentioned before, on July the 26th for our morning services until just at the beginning of December when we were shut down again. Whitfield School restarted in September, on September the 8th, and that was certainly a big step forward from the standpoint of all the regulations and COVID restrictions that were upon our staff members. And I want to pay a word of tribute to all of our staff in the school because of what they've been working through during these last months. And God's grace has been great in our school. We thank the Lord for His provision and for taking care of us. And our students have been amazing. And our parents have been so supportive of the whole ministry. And we really, really appreciate that. We held our annual general meeting. It was delayed by several months, but it was held on September the 30th via Zoom. And we also did our presbytery meeting on October 6th and 7th via the same way. Not too long ago, we enjoyed the fellowship via Zoom of Paul and Marina Briggs. They shared with us from missionaries in the Ivory Coast. We also had our first FPC Connect meeting for young adults across Canada. And we hope that this will continue. We've planned our next meeting for January the 9th. And so we would ask you all to remember those things before God in your prayers. Well, those are just some of the highlights of things that the Lord has helped us with and has brought us through so far. I want to share with you just briefly tonight a verse of Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1. I would ask you to turn there, please, 1 Peter chapter 1. I know our time is just about gone. It's been a longer service. But then again, you're not going anywhere. You're just at home where you should be. Well, you should be here at church, actually, but you're at home tonight. But you're not going anywhere, so you can just relax. I'll not keep you long anyways. But I do want to share with you a thought that the Lord has impressed upon my mind from verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 1, that we are kept by the power of God. We're going to start reading at verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold many temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. May God bless His word to our hearts as we have thought again tonight. Verse 5, we are kept by the power of God through faith. Oh, believer, if there's a theme that has been running through messages, testimonies, sermons that you have heard, it is that through all of this, our sovereign God is the one who has kept us by His grace and power, and He has proved and shown to us that His grace is sufficient in every time of need. But I ask you tonight, how is it that God has kept us, and how is He keeping us in an ongoing sense? And I believe for the child of God, we can say from our hearts that God has kept us from falling. He has kept us from falling. And what do we mean by that? Well, He has kept us from falling into hell. Oh, child of God, tonight, we have been saved by so great salvation. We have been brought out of darkness and into light. And today, as we thought this morning, we are not under condemnation, for we have been delivered from our sin. We have been placed upon the rock, Christ Jesus. He has given to us hope and lasting joy. And we today will never be in a lost eternity. We will never be cast off into hell. We are saved for time and for eternity. And as we're told in Romans chapter 8, we're already in glory, glorified through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let that truth settle into your heart. Let it settle into your mind that God has promised to keep you from falling into hell. Because if it was possible for a person saved to somehow become unsaved, to somehow will themselves out of salvation, or if God lost power and we somehow slipped out of His grip and fell into eternity lost, then our salvation would not be worth anything. For if God does not keep us totally, completely, and fully, we have nothing. We have absolutely nothing, friend. Our faith is vain. Our hope for eternity is empty. But tonight I can assure you on the authority of God's Word that we are kept by the power of God and will never be cast into hell. He will keep us from falling. But I will say to you, He will also has promised to keep us from falling into sin. And you say, is that really possible? And you're going through your Christian life, and maybe at a time right now, you feel you have disappointed the Lord. You feel you have stumbled and you've fallen. And while it may be true, believer, that we will disappoint the Lord and we will even stumble and fall into sin, the promise that God has given to us in His Word, He will keep us from falling to the point that we are lost completely. God has promised that He will keep His children. He will keep us, friend. And if you are determined to serve God, if you are determined and you mean business with the Lord, and you're going to say to Him, Father, I want to honor Your name. I want to live my life for Jesus. I don't want to dishonor or go off into a straying place. you leave that heart, that prayer before your God, and you're depending upon Him to keep you day by day. You're not depending on yourself. Sometimes I wonder if the Lord allows us to do our own little stumbles and fall down on our face so that we come to realize we have not power or strength in self. Because as soon as we think we're lifted up within our own ability, well, we have to learn that hard lesson. It's not by us, but it is in spite of us that the Lord brings us to that point. He has promised to keep us from falling into hell, and He has also told us He will keep us from falling into sin in our Christian journey. Believer, are you trusting and resting in Him tonight? Are you walking in fellowship with your Lord? He has given to us in His Word that very promise. For Peter said, we are kept by the power of God through faith. And that's the key. Because if we're going to be kept from falling into sin, it will be by the walk of faith, by holding firmly to the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench, to stop all the fiery darts of the wicked one. He has given us His Word. He has given us the shield of faith. Hold on to it firmly, believer. Don't ever set it down. Don't ever think for a moment, I can venture out on my own. It will not work. No. But God has promised He will keep us from falling. He will keep us in the hollow of His hand. We are preserved and kept by the Lord's great grace. But you know, the Lord has also promised in His Word to keep us in the time of our fear. In the time of our fear. It would be nice to say that, well, as Christians, we are completely immune from all types of fear. But that's not the case. And because of our humanness, because of our minds and our weak earthly journey, yes, we will at times succumb to fear. There are so many cases in the Scripture of people that serve the Lord, that live for God, but they were struck with fear at times. And you know, friend, it's in those times of fear that the Lord's hand is never far away from us. We all know the story of Peter so well, that when he was watching the Lord, he was able to walk on the water. But the moment he took his eyes off Christ, that was the moment that he fell into fear and began to sink. And as he cried out to the Lord, "Save me," the arm of Christ was there to catch him. And you know, friends, you and I, when we go through our earthly journeys of things that come upon us, the trials that will surprise us, tribulations that will cause us to be afraid, the voice of the devil that comes into our hearts, the fear we have of failing the Lord, the fear we have of not being a faithful servant of our God. Oh, there are so many fears that come across the mind of a Christian. One person said that fear is false evidence appearing real. That may be somewhat true. But let us come to the Lord tonight and bring our fears to Him. Have you ever done that? Have you ever actually said, "Yes, Lord, I'm afraid of this, this, and this," and I bring them to You and pray for victory? Because God has promised that He will keep us from falling in those times when we are afraid. He will keep us in those very times of fear when we wonder, are we going to make it through the trials that come along our pathway? Look what it says in verse 6. "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Dear brother and sister in the Lord, the very trial, the very temptation that is prone to bring fear into our life, God has said to us, these things are more precious than gold. Can you get your head around that for a moment? That's not the way the world thinks at all. And it's a sad thing that many of us as Christians don't often think like that either. Your bank account may not be full of gold. It may not be stuffed and hidden under your mattress. Your mattress may only have air in it. No, friend. But God says that the trying of your faith is more valuable than money. How could that be? Why is that? It is like this. Because God, through the trial, will show you more of yourself and your own inability, but He will point you to the wonder and splendor of your Redeemer. He will show you the wonder of Christ. And the more you go through the trial to behold the Lord, how wonderful and valuable is that lesson. I don't think that any of us would be lining up with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to go to Nebuchadnezzar's furnace. No, we wouldn't be doing that. But what do you think those three young men experienced when they came through that fire with the Son of God standing in the midst of the fire with them? And when they came out of that trial, their clothes nor their hair even smelled like smoke. Nothing. What would you exchange an experience of the presence of God like that for of this world? Oh, friend, do we begin to see the picture? How that God has promised to keep us from falling into sin, to keep us from falling into hell, to keep us in the time of our fears, whether it be trials or tribulations. His promises are real. His promises are true. We today are kept by the power of God through faith. And I finish with this. He has also promised to keep us in service to Him, to keep us in laboring and working. Is it not a marvelous thing that we are called co-laborers with God? That He reaches out His hand and says, here, take my hand. We'll go together and do this job. It's amazing. It's absolutely staggering that the God of heaven would humble Himself to make use of us. Do you understand this, friend, that God does not need us to do anything? He doesn't need our little help. But He rejoices to make use of us. And He has promised to keep us by His power in order that we can serve Him, in order that we will fulfill the calling that He has given to us tonight. Oh, believer, are you resting in Him? Have you seen His hand in your life over this year? I know you have. Are you able to trust the Lord with what you yet cannot see of the future? Of the things that seem uncertain, that seem all foggy or hazy in front of you? You don't know? It's just at a time like this. We need to rest by faith and know that God has promised to carry us through all the way, from the beginning of the year to the end, through thick and thin, through trial and tribulation, through bereavement, through death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The last text that Dr. Alan Cairns wrote or typed into his phone. What a way to go into glory. What a way to enter into the presence of God with such truth upon your heart. And friend, let that be our case tonight. Let's praise Him for all that we have. Let's thank Him for all that will yet be. Yes, even the burdens that He gives, because the Lord has promised that along with the burden, He will give abundant grace to carry us through. Sufficient, more than sufficient, it will never come to an end. I like as Brother Milos reminded us the word of C.T. Studd, God's interest in His bank is 100%. If you get that kind of return, you bank on it and you take that. That's a good investment. It's an investment that you'll never get anywhere else because the trial's more precious than gold. I close with this. Believer, live your life for Him. Ask the Lord to use you to save, to see a soul saved, to lead a soul to Christ. Friend, if you're not a believer tonight, you're coming down to the end of another opportunity, the end of another year, and you're still unsaved, and you're waiting, and you're delaying, and you're thinking, I've got some time left. Maybe the clock is ticking down near the very end for you. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We're going to close our service tonight with this very well-known hymn that we love to sing. Oh, give us homes built firm upon the Savior. I trust we are a blessing to you as you listen and sing. bow in prayer. Our loving God, we acknowledge tonight the great debt that we owe for your love and kindness and mercy to us. We're thankful tonight for our Lord Jesus, for his atoning death on Calvary's cross, whereby he shed his blood that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Father, increase our faith. Let us walk by faith and not by sight. Fill us with the Spirit of God in power each day. Make use of us, Lord. Lead us to souls that we might be a signpost to our Lord Jesus. Grant much grace to be given to families now that are right in the thick of trial, of trouble. And Father, give us thanksgiving in our hearts for how you have sustained us throughout the course of this year. All praise and thanks to our God and Father. So Lord, part us now in thy fear, with thy rich blessing, until we meet again. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.